The views and opinions throughout KAZI's broadcast day are not necessarily the views or opinions of KAZI's board, staff, underwriters, or volunteers.
Welcome to Zumbi, a monthly conversation with artists, activists, and scholars whose work is influenced by the richness of Black life in Austin and around the world. Your host is writer and community curator Stephanie L. Lane.
All right. Good morning. Good morning, KZI listeners. Again, this is Zumbi, named after Afro-Brazilian freedom fighter Zumbi Dos Palmares. And as always, I'm your host, Stephanie. And with me, as always, making it happen is Mr. DJ Slice.
How's everybody doing this morning?
We are good. And I will let my guest speak for herself, but I'm doing well.
I'm doing well, too.
Yes, good, I'm good. Excited. A month seems so long, so I'm glad that we're reunited, DJ Slice.
Yeah, it's been a minute, so I'm glad we're back at it.
Yes, well, I'm going to jump into our exciting show today. And this is someone that you're familiar with as well. So joining us on the show this morning is Jackie. Is it Hecht? Hecht, all right. Who is a colleague of mine at the University of Texas, and as well a host of a radio show on Zumbi on Wednesday that we'll get to talk about and promote as well. So again, welcome. And I'm gonna just tell the viewers a little bit about you and then we'll get into our conversation. All right. So Ms. Hecht has a master's degree in oncology nursing and is the managing director of the AMAN program at UT Austin School of Nursing. In addition to managing several community-based research projects to reduce health disparities, Ms. Hecht is a community health worker, instructor, and provides motivational interviewing training to professional and lay healthcare workers around the world. So yes, and I have to say, before we begin this conversation, how much respect I have for the profession of nursing. You know, I personally have just, in many ways, had my life saved by nurses. And I just feel like that profession does not always get the accolades and respect that it deserves. So anytime I have the opportunity to say that, I'm going to do that. So.
Well, thank you.
Yes. So one of the things that I like to do in the beginning of the program is just have you share a little bit about, you know, your work, but kind of what brought you to this journey. And I know that that's a lot to ask, but just in a few minutes, and I think that will kind of lend itself into what we're going to kind of delve into today.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Stephanie, for inviting me to be part of Zumbi today. It's a real honor. And I've always been interested in health and public health, even as a teenager. And I went to study nutritional sciences as an undergraduate. And then after that, felt like I wanted to really expand my ability to contribute to the health world. So went and got my master's in oncology nursing. And, you know, spent a lot of time learning how to take care of people with cancer. And in my heart of hearts, I just knew that I was really more interested in prevention than I was in treatment. Not that treatment isn't important, because it certainly is. And I have a strong affinity for oncology nursing and oncology treatment in general. But I just knew that I was really interested in seeing what can we do to help prevent people from developing cancer in the first place and minimizing you know, their adverse events if they were to develop cancer. And so I began this journey of working in health promotion and behavioral medicine back in Rhode Island, where I spent most of my adult life, and worked on a number of different interventions that worked with physicians and their offices and people in the community to help address cancer risk reduction and smoking behaviors in particular, and spent time working in physical activity and healthy eating and weight loss research. So really cultivating a lot of experience working with people who were struggling with some of these health behaviors and trying to help them figure out how can we help them access the resources and make good, healthy choices to live the kinds of healthy lifestyles that they were looking for.
Absolutely. And you just said so much in thinking about accessing resources, right? Who has access and who doesn't? Wonderful. So thinking about that part of your journey and what brought you to this work, let's get into your work with the School of Nursing and some of the programs, and then specifically the AMAN project.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. So, you know, a lot of this work is credited to Dr. Myeong Kim, who leads our department, who was teaching a class on community-based participatory research. And she invited leaders of organizations in the community to come take this class in partnership with graduate students. And they were all paired up to do some work. And through that work that they did together, and they developed this real affinity for activism. And so they basically were the inspiration for the equity office that we now have at Austin Public Health. Because together they were all working in different areas of community health and maternal justice, and decided that we really needed to have a more concentrated effort focusing on equity. So that's has been a really great partnership, and we continue to work with some of those organizations today. We work with the Marva Overton at the Alliance for African American Health in Central Texas, and we were partners in helping them get a Austin Public Health grant to do some health and wellness in the African American community around physical activity and healthy eating. We work closely with the Mama Sana Vibrant Women Collective, who also obtained a grant from Austin Public Health to do maternal justice work for women of color. We are working with the community and have developed a community health worker institute where we provide training and education for community health workers to help them learn more specialty education and skills and tools that they can use in their respective communities. Here in Texas, community health workers are certified by the state, and so they require 20 hours every 2 years of continuing education. And they were finding it challenging to find up-to-date, relevant information that really relates to their specific work. So over the past few years, we've been partnering with another organization, a training organization, CARDIA, to both develop and implement specialty training on areas that include mental health and wellness, postpartum depression. Recently, we've developed several trainings to address COVID, both around safe practices, but then also the mental health components and how people are experiencing COVID and the loss and grief that they're experiencing. We also offer a quarterly dialogue to bring community health workers together, especially since so many of them are now isolated themselves during COVID. This is a great, and many of them work independently. They don't necessarily work in teams. So this has been a great opportunity to bring them together, to share information and resources, and give them a chance to share with one another. And it's been a really great opportunity to kind of help boost and lift their spirits while we also share information that they can bring out to their communities.
Wow, all of that is wonderful and so needed. So thinking now specifically about the AMAN program, will you kind of talk about what this program is and as well the history, kind of what brought you all to this work?
Yeah. So, you know, as you can see, a lot of our work is really rooted in this area. And then back in 2018, Austin Public Health put out a call for proposals based on recommendations from two major committees. One was the Austin-Travis County Community Health Improvement Plan, and the other was the African American Quality of Life Resource Commission. And both of them requested that the city allocate resources to address both mental and physical health in the African American community as a way to help reduce some of the health disparities that we were seeing. And so my team at the UT Austin School of Nursing, again led by Dr. Myeong Kim, submitted a proposal in collaboration with some local churches and pastors to create an African American mental health and wellness program to address health from a mind, body, and spiritual perspective, and to offer programming and services in a holistic and integrated way. And we were very fortunate to be one of four organizations to receive funding. And so the AMAN program was specifically designed to address three out of the four strategic priorities that were laid out by these committees, including access to affordable health care, stress, mental health, and well-being, and chronic disease management, including diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart disease. So those are the main areas that we're really focused on. And to achieve these priorities, the AMEN program really aims to reduce the stigma around mental health by fostering conversations, trying to educate and provide information, normalizing the experience of mental health so that people feel more comfortable talking about it and helping one another get access to the appropriate level of resources needed. And we do this by engaging pastors and lay health workers from within the churches and the community, again, to provide education, training, and sharing among one another. And we also, try to bring local organizations who are already doing some of this work to the churches to help them become more familiar with what's out there, mm-hmm. so that when someone has a need, they may feel a little bit more comfortable knowing, you know, which resources to tap into.
Definitely. And I mean, obviously, and you've mentioned about the stigma and the fact that you are even, you know, starting with the spiritual community and leaders. So understanding how important the church is to the African-American community. Would you speak a little more about kind of some of the challenges or ways that you're having to navigate, right, this kind of deep, you know, faith, right, in connection with, relationship with God, and that many times being seen as, you know, you lean on your spiritual leaders, you lean on, you know, prayer and the Bible, you know, if you're a Christian, to do this, to deal with whatever is happening in your life. So this idea for some to, you know, seek out mental health resources, obviously, is often seen as a lack of faith. So how has that, I know that has come up. If you wanted to kind of talk more about that, that would be great.
Talking about challenges, I don't know if you noticed, but my Zoom actually—
I saw that.
cut out. And so, you know, these are the challenges that we're facing in this.
Yes.
You know, access to technology, mm-hmm. real divide between people who can access the information and resources that we're offering now virtually, and those who can't. And so that's a major challenge that we've discovered over this past year. This whole program was envisioned again back in 2018 when we had no idea that COVID, you know, might come and disrupt our lives in the way it did. And we had to quickly pivot last year and try to figure out how do we do all the work that we had developed to do in person and then try to translate in that into some kind of an online, you know, virtual format. And fortunately, we were able to do that reasonably well, but we were always mindful of the fact that some people aren't comfortable engaging in this kind of way or may not have the technology or the access or the bandwidth or the access to Wi-Fi to be able to engage in this way. And so, the design of this program was really to engage churches in developing their own infrastructure. And that's why it was really important for us to work with health workers, lay health workers from within the church to be supports and bridges to the congregation and community. And so, we have really worked very closely with them. We developed weekly meetings for them to learn new skills and to help us figure out how they can help us reach out into the community. And it might be time for a break.
Yes, so. It is. I know you know how this goes. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Support for KZI is provided by Shepherd's Carpet Cleaning.
Shepherd's Carpet Cleaning cleans residential and commercial carpets. They inspect your carpet to determine your needs and remove furniture and return it after they clean. They also clean tile and grout, upholstery, and dryer vents. Shepherd's is fully insured and bonded, and they use biodegradable carpet cleaning products. For more information, 512-317-4846 or shepherdscarpetcare.com.
Hey, what's shaking, y'all? This is Noel Gordine. I want you to check out Ingrid After Dark every Friday morning, midnight to 5 a.m. on KAZI 88.7 and on the web at kazifm.org.
Since 1982, we are the voice of Austin, playing R&B, blues, Southern soul, Zydeco, jazz, gospel, rap, hip-hop, neo-soul, and much more.
I think we're back. All right. So, yes. So, we did have a bit of a technical difficulty, so I'm going to kind of bring up the question again, and you answered a lot of this around challenges, but in specifically thinking about people seeing support of resources, mental health resources, is kind of this idea of a lack of faith, and kind of how you all are kind of broaching that subject and with folks in the community.
Yeah, no, that's a really important question, and something that we are, you know, kind of grappling with ourselves. Because what we know is that roughly 25% of people will seek care from their pastors rather than going to a mental health professional or, a physician or someone to a psychiatrist or general physician. And many clergy are not fully equipped to understand the full range of mental health experiences that people may be going to. And so, and many people will interpret a mental health crisis as a lack of faith or, you know, some kind of a spiritual deficit. And, you know, we're trying to help also bring in the education about mental health being a brain disease, and that sometimes there's organic changes that are happening in the brain that really make it hard for people to process things in a more balanced way. And so wanting to recognize that there may be some brain changes that are going on. So there may be some medical issues in addition to bringing their spirituality and faith into their potential treatment plan. And just recognizing that, you know, God works through many different vessels, and that healthcare providers are also, spiritual beings. And so looking to see how can we help support people with all the resources that may be needed to really help them get the right care and treatment and ongoing support that they may need. Is really important. And so, you know, we're really trying to work with the pastors and the health workers and congregants as well by educating them. We've done several mental health first aid trainings, which is basically a course similar to CPR or basic life support to help people have the tools and the language to talk about mental health and ask some questions and help guide them in a supportive, loving way into seeking the, you know, appropriate health care. Working with pastors as well to give them the tools and resources to really help the community in times of need. And this past year has really blown open mental health needs that people might have, because so many are struggling even with subclinical levels of depression and anxiety and loneliness and isolation. And so there's so much work to be done, really, to just reach out and check in with people and really try to help support them in the best ways we can to help us get through this difficult time.
Mm-hmm. Which is, and I always forget I'm on the radio. I am emphatically shaking my head because that is so true on everything that folks are dealing with daily, right? Just these continued traumas that have happened, you know. So you are obviously having to really kind of pivot through each one of these, right?
As it
is impacting, especially communities that are many times most impacted, you know.
Right. And so back in the early days of March of last year, when this pandemic first kind of took hold and the shelter in place orders came out from the mayor in late March, within a few days, we worked with the churches to figure out, how do we want to reach out to our community and the congregants? Like, how can we check in with them and just see, you know, how they're dealing with this? And so we quickly put together a Qualtrics survey and had the health workers calling members to find out how they're doing from a mental health perspective. What needs do they have for medication or other, basic medication and supplies to get through this time? And it was interesting because the levels reported on loneliness were relatively low compared to what we were expecting. But when the health worker asked if they would like to receive a callback, many more people said yes to that. And so it was a signal to us that sometimes people might not answer questions on loneliness in a way that really indicates how they're feeling, but their need for social connectedness and need for let's pray together. I just need to know that somebody's out there looking after me was really strong. And the health workers felt really grateful for that opportunity because it gave them something useful and meaningful to do. And they felt like they were getting back, from these phone calls by connecting with their fellow congregants as well. So it was really this mutual support opportunity. And we're continuing to reach out to congregants in lots of different ways to try to make sure that, you know, their needs are getting met and connecting them with various resources in the community.
That's great. Well, expanding on that part specifically, when you talk about kind of right now, a lot of the spiritual leaders and churches that you work with are Protestant. That's correct.
The ones we're working with are actually Baptist.
Right. Yes. But in that, if wanted to give you the opportunity to kind of share that this is something that is open to, you know, this Black is not a monolith. There are different, like Holy Cross Catholic Church, and, you know, there's different religions that have large African-American congregations. So kind of will you speak to a little bit of how, like, this kind of larger profile or movement around who is being reached out to?
Yeah. So we started with two churches on the east side, Mount Zion Baptist and Rehoboth Baptist Churches. We had existing relationships with them for years now. Two of our faculty have been bringing nursing students to their churches to do blood pressure screenings and all sorts of health checks. And so the community was very familiar with those students. And so we thought this would be a natural partnership to begin to just develop some pilot programming that we could then disseminate out. And so there was never an intention to focus on one religious denomination, or it was really meant to use faith-based organizations as a trusted, reputable community source to begin to develop, safe and trusting relationships to talk about some of these really difficult issues. And, you know, we know at UT has a history of working with the community that isn't always embraced in the most positive way. And so it really has taken us this year and a half to really build trust and relationships with the community to be able to receive the information that we're offering and feel comfortable partnering with us in this. And so we are, you know, through the Central Texas African American Family Support Conference, we present and we have a presence there as a way to try to let the community know that we're here, we're available for reaching out and offering resources. And we really welcome other churches who are interested in partnering with us to share in this experience. And that's really the goal, is to just create a model that we can share with faith-based organizations and other community organizations where, you know, some people don't necessarily affiliate with a faith-based organization, but could still benefit from these resources and information. And that's really the goal, is to make this more community spread.
Yes, definitely. Again, all of this is just wonderful and really exciting. And so, you know, in our last few minutes, I'd love to have you share any, you know, specific events or activities connected to this work, and also a little bit about the radio program that you co-host, correct, with Shannon Jones, and, you know, how people can, when they can tune in.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. So, you know, as part of our effort to just educate the community and bring these resources to listeners and people who may not be as closely tied to our program, we offer a monthly KZI radio show. It's the first Wednesday of every month from 9 to 9:30. And it's a call-in show, so we welcome people to call in and ask their questions or offer comments. And again, we bring in guests from different community organizations to share some of the work that they're doing. So in August, I think we had someone from AISD come and talk about how they're preparing the schools to open and what kind of mental health and community resources and technology support they were going to be offering to families to make that happen safely. Yesterday, we had Mr. Larry Wallace come and talk about this holistic men's clinic that they're building in the Eastern Crescent to offer wraparound services, a broad a range of health and social services to men and young men of African American and minority populations to come and, you know, have a safe place where they can get health care and support. And so we're constantly looking for other community resources to partner with. We partner with NAMI on mental health illness and other organizations to, you know, really try to come together and create synergy between the work that we're doing.
That's great. And I know with my role with the Center for Community Engagement, we're very excited to think of ways that we can collaborate in the future with all of the work that you all are doing, the School of Nursing and, you know, outside of that. So great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some of the other activities that we're doing as part of this AMEN program is that we offer a monthly mental health and wellness series. It's the last Tuesday of each month. It's on Zoom from 6 to 7. And we have different topics. A recent topic that kind of got postponed, but we'll be having shortly, will be on heart disease for men and women. We'll be doing another session on grief, loss, and loneliness at the end of the month, because we know so many people are struggling with that. We've done sessions on COVID vaccine information and really trying to help educate people about the vaccine and how it works, especially understanding that there's some skepticism and reluctance to take the vaccine. And so really giving people a chance to ask their questions and also to help facilitate how people can get the vaccine, because many people are struggling with where to go and how to sign up. And so we're really trying to address the needs that come up from the community and also continue to provide education and support. And for those of you who are interested in learning more about this AMEN program, you can find us actually on the KAZI website. And you can also find us at our website at the School of Nursing. So if you just go to www.nursing.utexas.edu/AMEN, you will find all of our podcasts from our radio shows there. And you'll find also more information and resources that are available to community members on a whole array of both physical and mental health.
Well, this was great. And you just wrapped everything up. So, because you're a pro. Wonderful. Yes. And so I encourage folks to, you know, listen to what the name of the program, the Wednesday
AMEN Radio Show.
Oh, all right. AMEN Radio. Can't forget that. AMEN Radio, 9:30 every first Wednesday.
It's actually
9 a.m.
Yeah, it's from 9 to 9:30.
Mm-hmm. 9 to 9:30, first Wednesday of the month. And then come over here the next day. Get all the info.
Absolutely.
Well, yes. Well, thank you so much, Jackie, for being on the show. It's always a delight to talk with you, and I'm inspired by all the work that you all are doing.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful opportunity. And again, you know, we love the partnership of working with the Division of Diversity and Community Engagement at UT. And so we look forward to continuing this work together.
Absolutely. And look at us. We're early, just on the dot now, 10 a.m. Thanks again. And what I say to everyone is, until next time, be gentle with yourself.
You've been listening to Zumbi with host Stephanie L. Lang on KAZI 88.7, The Voice of Austin. Zumbi is brought to you with support from the John L. Warfield Center for African and African American Studies and the Center for Community Engagement, two vibrant cultural institutions at the University of Texas at Austin. The views and opinions expressed on Zumbi may not reflect those of KAZI or the University of Texas at Austin. Hacémelo, papi. Hit me up like every night. Say you wanna have a pillow fight, but you're holding back and I don't know why. Baby, can I just be real? Getting hot when I'm all alone. Every time your name drops on my phone, but a picture just ain't enough. Need a little something to feel, yeah. Hey, all we do is talk about it. But can we just be about it? Show me what you're gonna do about it. Do it, do it, do it.